So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 16. The book of John, chapter 16. I'm going to continue on with a message that I began on Sunday morning dealing with drama and trauma. As I looked over my notes again today, I might not get through tonight. And if I don't, then I'm going to do it next Wednesday night. We're just going to keep on going until I finish. Is that all right? But I'm not going to rush, because I feel like we need to take a little bit of time here, because I believe that God is doing something in some people and giving some people some tools to come out of where you're at. John chapter 16, verse 33, if you're there, say amen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says this: I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. He said, you're going to have trouble, trauma, and drama, but in me you will have peace. Father, bless the reading of your word. Help me to convey what you placed in my spirit, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Trouble, drama, and trauma are a part of life. And I'm going to try to go through this without looking too much at my notes. And Emilio needs somebody back there. He's waving for somebody. I don't think it's me. You need me? No. Him? All right. Which one? Josh? Okay. So, trouble, drama, and trauma are a part of life. And sometimes the devil wants you to believe that you're the only one that has trouble, that you're the only one that has drama, that you're the only one that has trauma. And usually the devil tries to make you believe it's because of a lack of faith, or because of the fact that you've done something wrong and this is punishment. But we learned last week that sometimes you have trauma and drama for doing things wrong, because that does create, when you make wrong decisions, wrong stuff happens. But if you will have some trouble and drama if you make wrong decisions, but you're going to have some trauma and drama when you make right decisions. I've gotten into trouble for both. I'm doing right, doing good, doing bad, making wrong decisions. And then sometimes you have trouble for no apparent reason whatsoever. But to be forewarned is to be forearmed, which means that you know that it's coming and you can take necessary precautions. Peace is not the result of just having peaceful situations in life. Peace is an understanding. And I'll preach in the dark. I don't even care. Peace is an understanding. Peace is a perspective that God is greater than your current situation. I want to say that again. Peace is a perspective of knowing that God is greater than your current situations and your current circumstances. And when you really understand peace, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the understanding and realization of the presence of God, which simply means that I can be going through hell and high water and still have peace because I'm in the presence of God. That means that when Jesus told his disciples in the book of Mark, let's go to the other side, and a storm came up and he was asleep on the ship, and they were tripping and wigging out saying, God, aren't you up? Don't you see what's happening to us? But he didn't panic. He was asleep, because you can sleep in a storm when there is no storm in you. An internal storm is always worse than an external storm. Last Sunday morning, I told you point number one was this: realize that drama and trauma are periodically part of life. They're just normal part of life. If you don't have trouble and drama, it means that you ain't living. and you ain't doing anything. It means that you are in a commune somewhere, but you still going to have some drama and trauma. It doesn't matter where you go. All right? So, drama and trauma are not necessarily because you sinned. Or it's not because of punishment. Because drama, it's a lot easier to have external drama and trauma than internal drama and trauma. Point number two was this. Stop trying to calm the storm and calm yourself. The Bible says in Matthew 24:6, see to it that you are not alarmed. Don't be troubled. You can't control the storm, but you can control yourself. That's right. I'll do it too. You can't control the storm, but you can control yourself. And I'm sure that it lasts longer than you would like for it to. However, every trauma, every drama, every trouble has an expiration date. Hallelujah. Just make sure you don't keep extending the expiration date because of your own actions. You can get control of a situation until you first get control of yourself. We talked about breathing deeply. We talked about praying. We talked about reading the Bible, listening to music, have a change of scenery, whatever it takes. People have a tendency to reflect how you are in control or how you're not in control. Point number three is simply this. Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. What are the things you're talking about, Pastor? All the things that you need. All the things that you want. But what the main ingredient is seeking the kingdom of God first. The devil is tricky. He could be known as Tricky Ricky. But drama is always, and I want you to hear me, drama and trauma and trouble is always about breaking your focus. That's what it wants to do, is break your focus. Broken focus is the cause of more unfulfilled dreams and visions than anything else I know. Well, I would have done that but trauma. No, no, you would have done that but focus. That's the mission or vision statement of our church. We want to be a place where you can find focus for living. Because if you can focus, then you can get through no matter what you're going through. And even if you fail, stay focused, because you just learned a way not to do it. You just learned that that way didn't work, so change your strategy. Broken focus will cause you to be paralyzed. The enemy is just there to distract you and break your focus off of your goal. Now, I read this several months ago, and I put it in my, oh, that's good. Anybody have one of those files? Oh, that's good. That's a good file. Here's what it said. Distraction is the destruction of your dream in slow motion. Boy, that's good, ain't it? Yeah, that goes into the that's good file. See, I love one-liners. I love those things, man. But distraction is the destruction of your dream in slow motion. Because it doesn't explode. Usually it implodes because of broken focus. Because you didn't take care. That's what the distraction does to us. You can't get distracted by other people and what God lets them get away with. Now, how many understand what I'm talking about? We look around and go, well, God, they're doing it. That ain't none of your business. God, you're letting them get away with it. That ain't none of your business. What is God convicting you of? What is God calling you? What? Because there's some things that people get away with their wives that my wife won't let me get away with. Am I talking to somebody? Well, Pastor, that's you and your wife. No, the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean do whatever you want to and he's got one set of rules for you and one set. No, it just means a relationship. So sometimes, you know, how many knows that some kids, you can't give any leeway. You got to have brick and mortar rules. But some, you can give them a little leeway. Like, see, let me tell you something, folks. Never give a smart aleck kid ammunition. Don't get mad at your husband or your spouse and say, go tell your ignorant father to come here. Oh, don't do that. Because they're going to take some liberty. Mama said, bring your stupid self here. Now, that ain't what I said. But that's what you meant. You understand? You can't give them leeway. And so you cannot get caught up with what God is letting somebody else get away with. Pastor, how do you know about this? Oh, well. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and sent postcards. That I would see God letting other people get away with it. They're acting a fool and God's still blessing them. And I'm like, well, maybe I don't have to be so constricted either. And then I do something and God whip my behind. It ain't fair. It ain't about being fair. And let me just go on record. I'm glad that God ain't fair with me. I want him to be merciful with me. All right? See, I have enough on my plate trying to do what God has called me to do than rubbernecking, looking at everybody else and what they're getting away with. Don't worry about other people. You have enough to deal with your own crazy kids and your own crazy relationships. Ooh, I didn't mean to say that. Keep the main thing the main thing. Focus on what he put in your hand. Focus what he put in your hand. You ever get a glass of water that's full of stuff and trying to talk to people and walk? It's just going everywhere. But if you'll focus on it, you can carry it. See, some of you can't carry what God's given you because you're too focused on too many other people. But if you'll focus on what God gave you to carry, if you'll quit measuring your relationship with somebody else's relationship, your marriage with somebody else's marriage, your children with somebody else's children, you got to quit playing the competition game and the blame game. You got to quit doing that because there will always be somebody who don't like what you're doing. Whenever you're doing what God has called you to do, somebody who don't understand your call will judge you according to their call. Now, hang on a minute. I told you we'd be fleshing this out together. That's just going in again. Whew, thank you, Lord. They judge you based on their call. You know, Brother Don, how long have we been doing the food ministry now? 19 years. I remember when we started it. What do you mean, we, Pastor? I ain't never seen you out there. Don't worry about it. We. Because a man came to me and said to me, he was running about 20 at the time, and we were running about 200, and he said to me, this is a major ministry, you need to get involved in it. And I go, well, I'm going to pray about it. He goes, no, you need to do it. He just kept on going, and I said, I told you I'm going to pray about it. He said, well, tell me one reason why you won't do it. I said, I told you I'm going to pray about it, and I got somebody in mind who I think might could do the ministry. He said, no, they won't do it. It's not good enough for them to do it. You got to do it. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, why won't... So he pressed me. He's a little older than I was. I was trying to be, you know, I'm Southern, so I respected my elders. I was trying to be. And he said, why wouldn't you? I said, I don't have time. And then he looked at me. He ran 20. He said, well, I'm sure you ain't no more busy than I am. The spirit of slap come on me. And I wanted to anoint him with a brick. But I didn't. But I did say, let me tell you something, bro. You probably need to get up on out of my office before I do anoint you with a brick. And so several years later, he came back to me and apologized. He said, Pastor, I just had no idea. I go, I know. He said, I was ignorant. I go, yes, you were. But I wasn't gloating. I was just saying. But what I'm saying is he was judging me based on his call. There are people right now Well, Pastor, we need to do this. That ain't what we. I feel like we called to. Well, Pastor, that's what I feel like. Well, hold on. We got to come under, you know, leadership here. Right. So we've got to do that. But you cannot judge somebody based on your call that they're not doing what you were called to do. Listen, all right? We're all called to witness. Right? We're all called to, but listen, we're all called to witness, but if you want me to go stand on a corner somewhere and scream at people about their sin, I'm not your man. I'm not that guy. If you want me to go to the jungle of Honduras, I'm not your guy, but I know somebody. So, you know, so don't judge me for being at the Hilton. That's what God's called me for, to the Hilton. Now, we didn't stay in the Hilton at the Uruguay, but it wasn't too bad. But what? Oh, Jesus. Y'all make me so mad. These people here. So, you've got to finish your call. He didn't call you to answer to your critics. He called you to finish. He didn't going to go, well done, thou good and faithful servant, with your intentions. No, he wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, Pastor, my intentions were right. That's not a well done for your intentions. Well done is when the job's done. So there will always be somebody who don't like what you do, but they weren't there when you were handed your assignment by God.
That's right.
There are some people that they weren't there when God anointed you to do what you do. Hey, somebody hear me. And so you got to do what God's called you to do. Now listen to me. Drama is a decoy. What do you mean by that? Remember, the areas of your focus are the areas of your reward. And the areas of your neglect are the areas of your pain. Now how do we, what do you, break that down for me, Pastor? Okay. If you focus on your marriage, your reward is a good marriage. But if you neglect your marriage, your pain comes from your marriage. If you focus on your relationship with Christ, your reward comes from that relationship. But if you neglect that area, then that area becomes a source of pain. If you neglect your health, I better turn around. If you neglect your health becomes an area of pain. Well, I don't care what the doctor said. I'm just going to keep eating whatever I want to eat. And sometimes we circumvent what God had for us because we didn't do what we know to do. All right, listen to me. If you neglect your health, you will have pain there. If you neglect your children, you're going to have some pain there. And listen, I'm sorry, we're going to do our best, but don't bring your children, now that they're 17, for me or Pastor Anthony to fix. You can't bring them to me when they 13 or 12. You got to start when they 2. You got to start when they 2 months. Well, Pastor, I didn't, so what do I do? Start where you are. And if you need to apologize, apologize to somebody. But if you neglect your kids, they're going to bring you pain. If you neglect paying your bills, that's going to bring you some pain and some dark nights, literally. If you neglect your spiritual life, that's where you're going to have pain. Many times, well, Pastor, I've done all that and I really haven't paid. No, many times it's our kids that cost us of the areas of which we neglected. They pay the price of neglect. Sherry and I made a decision when we accepted the call to pastor. And I've said this many times and we'll continue to say it. What gives me the right to pastor you and your family is that I first must pastor my own family. And if I neglect pastoring my own family, then I have been disqualified from pastoring your family. What does that mean, Pastor? It means just like this. All right? Now, I was all-pro or all-star football player, all-star baseball player, but my dad never saw me play. He was a horrible dad. No. He had 11 kids. He couldn't get everybody. I wasn't on the schedule that week, that year. But what I'm saying is one of the reasons that I disliked church people is from my opinion, the church took my dad's attention away from me. All right? Now listen, I'm not talking about a narcissist that everything's got to be around you. But you know, because if your kids, you know, if you ain't careful, your kids will run your life. If you ain't careful, Johnny will be telling you what to do. Stand on your head. I can't stand on my head no more. I'm sorry, I'm too old. Little Johnny be telling you when you're going to go to church. And little Johnny going to be telling you where you're going to go to church. No. Oh, no, you're going to go to church with me. And if you don't want to go, you still going to go. Mad, crying, with your booty hurting, but you're going to go. Because listen, oh, Lord Jesus, help me somebody. Let me help some of you. Are you all right? Let me help some of you. Especially you parents. You're the parent. You're the parent. They don't need you to be their best friend. They need a parent. They need a mom. They need a dad to lead them and guide them and correct them and love them. They don't need a best friend. They need you. And so we've got to understand that whatever area you neglect is the area where you're going to have your trouble. Whatever drama is present, ask what is the main thing and choose your battles wisely. All right, now here we go. Don't give me the next one yet. Don't do it yet. But this is powerful. Because if you don't get this one, this message is going to mess everybody up if you don't get this one. Now give it to me. Give it to me, baby. Wisdom is knowing what to ignore. You ain't got to fight every battle. You got to know what to ignore. You know, listen, you folks who got one child, y'all ain't even real parents. I'm kidding, of course. But come on, you and your, especially if you got a spouse and y'all raising one kid, y'all double team that kid. Ain't no big deal, man. Y'all double team him. But then when you get two kids, now you're on man-to-man coverage. When you get three kids, you go to zone defense. You got more than four kids, you just don't let them get anything behind you. Just keep it all up front. Give them some of those. I ain't going to let you get in. You understand what I'm saying? Wisdom is knowing what to ignore. Because if you don't ignore some things, you're always going to be in drama and trauma and trouble. That's the real talk right there. Come on, be walking out. What'd you say? You looked at me differently. I know you did. You got to ignore some stuff. You got to. If you fought every time somebody looked at you cross-eyed. I was in line at Dunkin' Donut, minding my own business. Let me just help some of y'all that go to Dunkin' Donut. Pay attention, number one. Because we're trying to get out the road. So pull up. Don't just stay 20 feet behind the other car. Pull up. I'm trying to get my big Yukon tail off the road. Pull up. Get off your phone. Beep, beep. I'm like, move, fool. Keep it up. I'm going to push you. I got a bigger car than you. I'm going to push you out of the way. But now, this person told me that I was number one. Because I didn't do the bah! I just did the sweet. Ba-ba. Pay attention. That's what that means. Pay attention. Ba-ba. You're missing something, bro. Ba-ba. Move up. And so they told me I was number one. They don't know me. They do not know me. Woo. All I'm going to say is thank God for the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying though? But if, I mean, come on, what would that have done if I'd have got out of the car? What if I do? Yeah, get right back in the car. Now, what if I'd have got out of the car? You know, no. Wisdom is knowing what to ignore. That's, you got to do some of that with your own family. Don't walk the plank on everything. You don't have time to address everything. So wisdom is knowing what to ignore and what to fight. You know, how many folks do you know? Don't point at them if they're here. How many people do you know who is always in a fight? And it's because they don't know what to ignore. They just think that everything is an attack on them. You're not called to address everything. There are some battles, hear me closely, that are not worth fighting. There are some people, they ain't even worth it. They ain't worth it, right? Even if you did win, it was not worth it. It took too much of your time. And the reward was not worth the time and the effort that you put in to win. Well, bless God, I told him. Really? You told them, but you ruined your reputation. Mm-hmm. But me and my wife was fighting, and I told her. Well, now y'all ain't talked in 4 days. Yeah, you won, all right. Even if you didn't win, what is the reward? It's not worth your time. It's not worth your effort. You lost too much blood. You lost too much energy. Never make the trauma and drama more important than the relationship. Because here, listen to me closely. I've used this one time before, I know. But never cut what you can untie. Amen. My God, that's good. Never cut. Listen, I'm an Alabama boy. I always have a knife. I'm not even Puerto Rican. Ooh, that's racist. No, come on, every Puerto Rican here, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all got a knife. That's right. Joe, you got one? All right. Mary? Uh-huh. Are you Puerto Rican? You ain't Puerto Rican. What are you? You Mexican. What are you? You. You what? Cuban. Oh, I know you got a knife. There ain't no doubt in my mind Cuba got a knife. Got a knife? Uh-huh. See, that's what I'm talking about. We got one. I'm an Alabama boy. You got a knife. And so it's easier just to cut it. But it ain't easy to cut relationships. It's not easy to cut people. Especially when you can untie it. But untying it takes time, right? We're talking about drama and trauma, trying to help you. The problem is not designed to take you down. It's designed to help you find your wings so you can soar. Because some of us, we would not get out of the nest if we didn't have any trouble. You don't know what you can do until you have to do it. Oh, good God, somebody hear me. You don't know that you could, oh, I don't know if I could do this. And then you did it. Because you had to do it. And most birds will never fly until mama kicks them out of the nest. You didn't know what you could do until you do it. God brings you to the place that allows drama and trauma in your life so that you can see that you can do more than you thought you could. I was talking, I did a wedding this earlier today, and one of the girls was there, and she said, I don't get to come to church much, Pastor. She said, but I watch online every Wednesday night at my job. I was like, that's kind of cool. And she said, I know the Lord said that he wouldn't put more on me than I could stand. And I don't know how much more I can stand. And I said to her, I know what you mean, girl. I said, because God believes I can do more than what I can do. God believes that you can do more than what you can do. Well, Pastor, why? I wish God would help me to believe it. That's why you got the trauma. Because you don't know that you can do it. You didn't know that you could live through it. You didn't know that you could be all right on the other side of it. But once you got on the other side of it, you look back and say, I can't believe that I was able to come through that. And we go, it wasn't me, it was God. But it was still you. And God used the drama and the trauma to bring you through and to throw a lifeline back across there that said, if I can get through it, so can you. If I can come out on the other side and it not define who I am, then you can too. Come on through. If it wasn't for drama and trauma, some of us would have never known what we could do. See, God writes into the script of your life opportunities to experience a but God moment. How many's ever had a but God moment? If it had not been for the Lord, whoo, I'd have thrown in the towel. If it had, you know, and I'll tell you, remember baby Noah? You know, the mom and daddy of Noah was in church Sunday. They regular tenders. He's doing good. I was able to hold him. He's doing good, looking good. A but God moment. They said, Pastor, we had never experienced a but God moment. Can I tell you that there are some things that you might can go to them and tell them, but they will never forget the but God moment. Because of the drama and the trauma. Oh, if we had to choose, I wouldn't have chosen to go through that. If they had to choose, they wouldn't have chosen to go through that. But God. But they have a but God moment, and nobody is ever to take that away from them because of the trouble, because of the drama, because of the trauma in their life. When I got this from T.D. Jakes. It was so powerful. When you are born, you're like a key with no cuts in it. As you go through life, each wound, each failure, each hurt, each trauma and drama cuts into the strip of metal. And one day, there's a clear click. Your pain has formed the key that slips into the lock that opens up your future. My God, somebody hear me. That's, oh God, I don't understand why. I'm going through what I'm going through. I'm getting cut. I'm getting hurt. And every groove and every cut in that key is making it possible for one day there's going to be a click and it's going to open the door and you walk into a wonderful future that you never could have had without the drama and the trauma in your life. See, that's why I wore a suit tonight, because I knew it was going to be Sunday morning. That's what I knew. Number four, get a better perspective. View the situation from different angles. Don't ever look at something just from one angle, because all you know is what you know. Well, that's deep, isn't it? That's so intellectual. All you know is what you know. Kind of reminds me of what my daddy used to say when we'd get lost. I said, Daddy, we lost? He goes, no, sir. I said, where are we? He said, we're right here. I said, then you lost. No, I ain't. I know where I'm at. I'm right here. Well, where's right here? He said, I don't know that point, but I know where I am. I'm right here. Don't ever just look at something from one angle, because all you know is what you know. When you just look at it from one angle, you think that is all there is. See, listen, when I looked from the angle that, you know, that if I was going to serve God, I wouldn't have any fun. That was a bad angle, man. How about the angle when I looked at, if I was going to be a pastor, I had to be Poe. That's why I didn't want to be no pastor. I didn't want to be Poe. You mean poor? No, Poe. Poor is for rich people. Poe is for people who have an O-R on layaway. Poe. Poe is, my baloney don't have a first name, Poe. Come on, somebody. Poe. Poe is our Haitian family sponsored us. Come on, Poe. Poe. And I thought that's what it had to be if I was going to be a pastor. And that's the only angle that I saw. But then I started seeing different angles. Well, if I get a different angle, though, but Pastor, there are some people who have become rich. That's right, and that's the wrong angle. And I want y'all to know I'm rich. I'm rich in love and hope and faith. I got more than my share. Anyway, listen to me now. Here we go. Problems are not monolithic. Y'all like that word? Yeah, I had to look it up. Because How am I going to say this? And I come up with that word. I didn't come up with it. It was already there. I just discovered it in the dictionary. When something is monolithic, it's big and made of one thing. That's what it means. That you think that your problem is one thing. But I've learned that my drama and trauma is not one thing. Don't point at nobody. If I just had a bigger house, I would be happy. If I had a bigger car, I would be. If I had a bigger paycheck. I was watching Family Feud last night, and they said, how satisfied are you with your? They asked 100 people, how satisfied are you with your current paycheck? And out of 100 people, the number one answer was one. That's how satisfied I am, number one. I'm satisfied. I'm not satisfied at all, one. But that's what we think. Lord, if I had so-and-so's spouse. Pastor, people don't do that. Oh, contraire, you with little hair. Oh, yes, they do. There was a woman in our church when we first came, and she was upset with my wife, and I didn't know why, and my wife didn't. Matter of fact, we didn't even know she was upset. She finally came to us and said, I owe you an apology. And my wife said, for what? She goes, because I was upset that you found pastor and y'all were married and all of my last two husbands have just been a bunch of bull. And I'm sorry. I thought, well, you'd quit looking for your husband in the bar. Might help. But anyway, I didn't say that because I'm such a compassionate pastor. Problems are not monolithic. Come on, say it with me. Problems are not monolithic. Just kind of flows off the lips. Monolithic. It's not unilateral. Women see things from a different perspective. Certainly than from men. That's why God said it ain't good for a man to be alone. Every man in this building, you know what I'm talking about. Because women are more nearsighted than men. Men are farsighted. What do you mean by that? I mean, we men can stand right in front of the refrigerator. And you got to get down so you can see. Baby, where's the butter? It's right there, honey, in front of you. No, I can't see nothing. Now, we ain't going to move nothing. If we can't see it, we don't move because we don't want to mess up your women's creative design in the refrigerator. How many men know what I'm talking about? Baby, where the butter? And the wife coming right here. Because we can't see the trees because we're in the forest. That's why we got to back up. See, men see the big picture sometimes and we fail to see things up close. That's why men, we do that. I've learned there is usually no such thing as a problem. They come in bunches. And they're usually tangled up together. And you think you're working on one problem. You didn't even know that was a problem. It just got kind of caught up in the mustard. You didn't even know that was an issue. But it got caught up. Am I talking to anybody? Am I helping anybody? And when you see, that's, you know, if you have one eye, you know, I have contacts. Yeah, I'm that old. I have contacts and cheaters. Because I got that weird eyesight. Somebody said, you nearsighted or farsighted? I said, I just can't see. I don't know which one it is. So they wanted to give me one to read up close and one to go out far. No, bro. That is not me. They put them in my eyes. I started going. I said, I'm a holiness preacher. I can't be walking around like this. People either going to think I'm drunk or having a seizure. Either way, they're going to be praying for me to get cast the devil out or healing, one of the two. I can't do that. So that's why when you, now listen to me, when you only have one eye, my God. Y'all, excuse me, y'all just hang on a minute. I told you, we fleshing it out together. God just, yes. Thank you, Lord. When you only have one view, one eye, you do not have binocular vision. And when you only have one view, your depth perception is off. That's why sometimes you think big deals ain't a big deal. And sometimes why you make mountains out of molehills and molehills out of mountains. But when you have binocular vision, it gives you depth perception. Every adversity that comes into your life is a bridge to another victory. See, if you only have one vision, you think that the tragedy and that the trouble has come to destroy you. I knew a family, I ain't gonna call their name in case they're watching. But you let the one least little thing happen, and it was like the sky was falling. He called me up one night. Oh, Pastor, my marriage is over. I go, what happened? He told me, it's like, there ain't no big deal. It's over. I don't know how I'm going to live without her. We're going to get divorced. I go, just calm down, son. Let's talk to her. And I talked to her, and she was like, it's all right. It's all good. Now, she might have killed him later. I don't know. But you understand what I'm saying? We look at every trouble and trauma as the end. It's the end of where we are. But many times, it's just a bridge to another victory. And when you begin to win a victory and a victory, and all momentum is some small victories that are strung together. God's trying to get you on the momentum bus and get you off the struggle bus so that you can begin to win and understand that you're the head and not the tail, that you're above and not beneath. Dealing with drama and trauma. Hey. It may not look like it right now, but initially, it might not look like I'm going to get anywhere, but God ain't finished. Let God finish. Drama and trauma. All right, I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave 5, 6, and 7 for next Wednesday. All right? Let me finish this out. Drama and trauma change the way your perspective of time. Did you hear that? Drama and trauma change the way you perceive, not perspective, change the way you perceive time. You will stay in at Disney World for 2 hours standing in line for a 3-minute ride, and that 3-minute ride act like it ain't nothing, right? But you get down and try to do 3 minutes worth of push-ups, and it's like the end of the world. That time just stands still. You try to pray for 3, come on somebody. See, it changes your perspective of time. When you're going through drama, it seems like you've been in it forever. And when you're at work or when you're at school, it seems like time just stands still. Will this day ever be over? Will this week ever end? I can't wait for Friday. I can't. Oh, my Lord. Some of you in church, will he ever shut up? But you get to the movies and you're like, oh, my God, the movies, this is a 3-hour movie and I hadn't even went to the bathroom. I'm telling you right now, some folks on Sunday morning, I'm praying for their bladder. When will this week ever be done? How about when you go on vacation? It seems like you just unpacked at your location. You got to pack back up because it's done. But work seems like, I've told people, I said, it's been a long year this week. Now, some of y'all understand that. It all depends on what you're doing. Well, Pastor, what do I need to do about this drama, trauma? How am I going to get through it? Put it through the think test. Are you ready? Put it in the think test. Is it true? What you're going, is it true? Sometimes you have to ask somebody else because you don't even know. Is it? You ever had a dream that you was so real you wasn't even sure if it was true? You ever had a vision from God? Somebody was telling me about a vision they had from God, and God just, boy, it was supernatural. And you're like, is it true? I don't even know if it's true. Is it honest? Is it inspiring? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Put gossip through that test, and it will fail. You need people, but sometimes we become so fixated on the problem that we miss the solution. You become so fixated on the problem, you miss the solution. How many times have we spent hours trying to fix something and it was just unplugged? Or a wire had come out of the HDMI, you know? And you like took it back to this thing broke. Do you have it plugged in? You stupid. Of course I had it plugged in. Three men from West Virginia were in the back of a pickup truck and drowned because they couldn't get the back tailgate open. Fixated on the problem, they couldn't see the solution. But see, that's what it is, man. You can't box God in on how he's going to get you through this. My God, somebody hear me. You can't box God in on how he's going to do it. Well, I know how God's going. He did it this way last time. You know what God's going to do this time? Quit boxing him in. Quit trying to figure out how God's going to bring you through. Quit trying to figure out how God's going to bring you out. Quit trying to figure out with the timetable. Just know it ain't going to be forever. Because it don't ever happen usually the way we think it's going to happen. Does it, baby? Hallelujah. See, what is, can I tell a little bit? See, what y'all don't know is today Jess was supposed to be at a court hearing about her children. And they were going to start proceedings or hearing on termination of parental rights. Yeah, them bad. No, that's not, they ain't bad. Jessica made some dumb decisions before Jesus. But didn't we all? My God, I made some dumb decisions after Jesus. But she made some dumb decisions. But she'd been doing and trying, and with Joe's help, because they married. That's what husbands do. They help when we know how. But late Monday night, she got a phone call. And the DCF said, we are removing our petition with no prejudice. Now, we don't know how. We don't know how. They've just been doing all they know to do to get through the trauma and get through on the other side of the drama. And I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Y'all going to keep doing what you need to do, or I'm going to bust you upside your head. But thank God for a good church. People to help and guide and try to move them in the right direction. That's why you need people. Well, I ain't that bad. Shut up. You don't know how bad you are. I wasn't talking about the keyboard. Keep playing the keyboard. But we don't know how. You know, for me, I would have figured it out. Well, we'd have went to court. And then there's when they would have said, hey, you know, no. Because I've been in these situations before, and I've seen them go both ways. But God. But God. I don't know why God does what he does, but don't put him in a box. What's my next one? Is my next one another point? It's another point? All right, yeah, just go back. Man, let's don't put God in a box. However you want to do it, God. I got to deal with it. I got to deal with it. Now, what you don't do is push it under a rug. Right? Dealing with drama and trauma. Make sure we keep the main thing. Get a better perspective. Number two, well, stop trying to calm the storm and calm yourself. And number one, drama and trauma are periodically normal to life. Come on, just lift up your hand for just a moment. Lord, I give you praise and glory.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.